Hi, everyone. This is the March 19th meeting of the Coaches Club and Wednesday afternoon call. And it's Elaine standing in for Diane this week. We're sort of tag-teaming in the last few weeks. And we have Whitney and Tracy on the call. So we're going to start with just check-ins and how are things going with you guys? I know, Whitney, you said you haven't made it to a call in the last little while.
A few weeks, yes, yeah.
Checking in from the last couple of weeks, what's up for you guys? What do you want to share? Either of you. Do I have to call on you when there are only two people on the call?
Oh, God. I don't even know where to begin.
So, Tracy, what's up with you? Just give us a little working for
no,
you.
I've missed the last few calls, too. I think as a mom, the calls are awesome, and I take notes, and I look at them, and I kind of highlight what I feel is important, and I think I've just been kind of burned out the last month or so I haven't called in, and it's not because it's not valuable. It's just that my brain is kind of burned out from tools and ideas and tricks, and, you know.
Yeah. Well, sometimes we're saturated, and we need to take a break.
Yeah. So there's that, and then things are a little better in our house. My son started seeing a therapist maybe two months ago or so, and he also switched his medications, and they added Strattera, which I think helps with anxiety, or seems to help with anxiety. And then I've learned to kind of just let go a lot more, where less gripping and grasping, and you know, and all these things combined, I think, are just creating a little bit more ease in our house, and we still have struggles, but they're not quite as crazy as they were last fall. There's less yelling, and it seems a little bit easier. So I was kind of taking a mental break from the whole thing. It doesn't mean that I don't need this, because I do.
Yeah, but I love what you're pointing to, because, you know, so you're seeing improvement and things are better. And, you know, first you started focusing on you, and then you made some changes for him. And, you know, it's sort of cumulative as you begin to let go and he begins to get some more support. You know, it actually gave you a space where you could take your breath for a minute, which is
really letting go is huge for me. Huge.
Yeah, it's.
And I'm still working on it.
Yeah, and it's. I have written about this a lot. I think it is the number one parenting lesson that we have to practice 1,000 times a day.
Yeah. It's letting go to result. Letting go of attachment and results is what it's been for me. Not letting go of the rules, but like the attachment to what it should look like.
Exactly. Exactly. Letting go of the need for it to be a certain way.
Yeah,
I'm so with you. It's my biggest lesson, too, no question. And the only other thing I want to comment on that you said is that, just because other people will listen to this call at some point, is that it's great that the Strattera has helped with anxiety in your house. And that's not always the case. So remember that it's, you know, individual for each child. Because, you know, I had a kid on Strattera once that it actually exacerbated her anxiety. So you just never know how it's going to hit each kid.
Okay. Interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So just the reminder that one medication for one kid is not the answer for another, necessarily.
Yeah. He's in case anyone's listening and it's informative or helpful, he's on Vyvanse as well. So he's on both.
Great.
Two low doses of both, and the combination's working great for him.
Great. And for you.
What's up?
I said it's working great for him and for you.
Yeah. Sanity is a good thing.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, you definitely have a calmness to you. You sound like the yoga teacher you are right now.
Yeah. I feel like the one that I am, yeah.
That's great. And what about you, Whitney?
Well, mine has – I've missed the – past couple of sessions more out of other areas of my life being urgent. And now all of a sudden it's, you know, work takes precedence, and then, you know, it's something, travel takes precedence, or spring, whatever it is. And now just this past week, my precedence teachers, he's 6 and a half, you know, sat us down and said, okay, we can handle this for the rest of the year, but you've got to do something for him for first grade. And I've never had that call to action from a teacher. I was kind of hoping that, you know, there wasn't something that I had to do immediately. And I really wasn't sure what I was supposed to do. So, you know, here I am, and I've participated in the calls and just used my strategies more from the calls at home. But now I'm starting to see that they're begging for some tools and, you know, and what, how do I move forward with this for him, you know, in other areas outside of the house.
Right. Well, and the challenge that I see, you know, and we've had some, just so everybody knows, we've been emailing about this back and forth, so I have a better sense of what's going on, but is, you know, there's two pieces to look. One is, three actually. One is, what do you need to focus on with yourself to learn how to manage it most effectively? Two is, what do you need to focus on with him to teach him to begin to manage? And the third is either finding the right school environment or what do you need to do to advocate and educate the school? Because sometimes it's about advocating at the school, but sometimes it's about educating them because they don't always know.
Right.
So you sort of
can
have three
like
different places to take aim.
Right. And they speak as though they've never seen this before ever. Like he is
right.
just the most
right.
ill-behaved, you know, and have a checklist of 8 points that they make tally marks on. How many times has he not followed directions? How many times he gets out of his chair? How many times he says something inappropriate? How many times he gets up during carpool? I mean, and I said, are you doing this for any other student? Nope, just him.
Right.
So.
So, which means, you know, they can't handle it and they don't know how.
Right.
You know, which doesn't excuse the behavior, right? But there is that larger piece of, you know, is this the right environment for them? And if so, because I know you're in a selected environment. And if so, how do you help him be successful?
Right.
So to be clear, just a curiosity, were they saying he can't come back next year, or were they saying you've got to do something different?
Well, it's in the church, so he only goes to this kindergarten, so he has to go somewhere else anyway. So we
okay.
don't know where he will end up, you know, next
okay.
year. So that's what I figured. And they were just saying the more information, if you can go ahead and do the, you know, I'm still confused what it's called, but testing for him before you even get to first grade, you can better inform the teachers and help maybe go before you get there and make sure that he's placed in the right classroom with the best teachers for him.
Right.
But they said the more information you have going into it, the better you'll, you know, prepared and you'll be to help him.
Great. Yes, absolutely. And it's just for your information, it's called psychoeducational testing. Because
okay.
it's both psychological testing and educational-based. And they look
okay.
at all of those different pieces to see, are there neurological issues like ADHD, anxiety, depression, and are there educational issues like learning disabilities?
Okay.
And at the end of it, you end up with this, you know, 20-something page report that will overwhelm you beyond belief. And if
okay.
you're lucky, at the end of it, you'll get a report with some good recommendations.
Okay. Lucky. Okay.
But we'll get
I hope there. I'm lucky.
One step. Some reports are better than others, and that's, you know, you want to ask other parents and schools whose reports they like, because some physicians or some psychologists do a better job of really explaining it and making recommendations. You want a psychologist who really makes recommendations, that it's not just a
right.
report, but that it's something you can do something with.
Right. Okay. And this kind of goes to our topic, I mean, as far as compassion goes. I mean, I was struck with this, you know, they're using a new technique with him this week where they're not giving him any more, like there's one warning, you don't obey by whatever they said, then you go to the principal's office and he's got to sit up there and think about it for 20 minutes.
Oh.
So he
no.
did it for the first time yesterday. He, you know, he got sent, they were presenting their countries and he was just asking questions out of turn and, you know, not raising his hand and interrupting, and so got sent to the principal's office. And, you know, he got back in the car, and it was the first time that he said, you know, Mommy, you know, I don't think they like me. And then he's asked me other questions. Why do I have to go to this appointment? Or why didn't I, you know, with some of the school interviews, I mean, why didn't I not go last year? And so there's all of these questions coming up all of a sudden about, why am I having to go from appointment to appointment or school to school? And I, you know, and a lot of it's not just has to do with him. And I tried to explain it. Said it's, you know, a lot of it's just trying to find the best place for you. But I think that's still just overwhelming.
Confusing. Yeah.
Yeah.
There's a lot. And I mean, dare I say, that's a terrible way to handle a child with ADHD's impulsivity.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I'm sorry. It's just a terrible way to handle it. And it says to me that either the school does not understand ADHD, because I can't mm-hmm. believe they've never had a kid with ADHD.
Yeah, that surprised me too. I mean, they said some of the boys act out, but with Preston, they said it's just consistent. But
yeah.
When you say it's a horrible way, I mean, what do you think that if I was going to explain to them why it would be horrible for him?
So, Tracy, I'm going to let you respond first.
Yeah, I'd be happy to. you know, mine is 9, and the same thing happened in kindergarten. He's at Morris Brandon, and
uh-huh.
there's no way they haven't had other ADHD kids. What they do is they just want to wash their hands of it and blame it all on you and your kids, when really
mm-hmm.
they don't have any tolerance. You know, they need to have a little tolerance and a little compassion. Mine was the same way in kindergarten. She said to my ex-husband and I, she said, let me be really clear. He will not pass first grade unless you do something about this attention thing.
Okay.
And so
right.
he did. That's when he went on medication between kindergarten and first grade. And now I think the lesson could be in this situation is it's really important to find a teacher who has experience working with ADHD kids, because mine's in third grade, and I think she gets the ADHD kids because she really knows how to handle them.
I
saw him in class one day, and he
okay.
was standing up. And I asked him that night, I said, why were you standing up in class? And he said, oh, yeah, my teacher lets me stand up sometimes if I'm wiggly or whatever. So you know, she keeps him busy with tasks, and she gives him extra love and extra points when he does focus and when he does not blurt out. And
mm-hmm.
that's knows how to handle him, and it makes a huge difference.
Right.
It's really made a difference with his confidence, because he used to think he was a bad kid because he always got in trouble, and he's not a bad kid.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, impulsive, hard, niggly. Yep.
So right. how I say it is everybody is wired for struggle in their brain. It just depends. Everyone's is different. So yours, you know, focused, and someone else's blah, 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 and, you know.
That's a great
right.
way to talk. So there's a bunch of issues you're pointing out. One is, how do you talk to him about it? And so we'll
mm-hmm.
come back to that. And there are places. So I want you both to think about, what do you want to take aim at on this week? So one place that's sort of come up is, how do you talk to him about it?
Right.
And how do you talk to the school about it are sort of two different things. But sort of playing, you know, riffing on what Tracy was saying, it's not just us that has to be compassionate. It's helping the school understand what's happening so that they can express some compassion for him. Because the situation they've got right now is they basically are punishing him for being curious.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of acknowledging that he's curious, and it's really hard for him to hold his tongue when he's excited and interested,
mm-hmm.
right? So you've got this curious learner who actually wants to know, and he's getting in trouble for it.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think it's appalling.
It's horrible.
Sorry. It's so hard for me not to talk. I'm going to put mine on mute.
No, it's okay. It's really
no, hard. No, no. I was listening.
It's appalling because they, you know, they're squelching his desire and eagerness in school, you know, and I just, teachers can
right.
really foster and encourage that desire and eagerness, or they can squash it, and that's the biggest part about teachers with ADHD
yep.
kids.
So let's take this, let's focus it, okay, because I want to help us move forward and use the topic today, but also it's a great opportunity for you to not only look at what you're going to focus on, but to begin to teach the school how to do the same thing, right?
Okay.
So just like what we say to you guys all the time is, you can do it all, but you can't do it all at the same time. You have to choose what you're going to work on this next couple of weeks. You have to focus in, take aim, get really clear what the changes you're looking to see, so that he can become really clear what your expectations are. And then you can, once you've accomplished something, then you move on to the next. So similarly, part of your advocacy is going to be going to the school and saying, I hear you. We know we're trying to manage this. What's the one thing? And begin to get the school bought into focusing on one area instead of you got to fix everything.
Right.
Because one, you can't fix it. It's a behavior management issue. And two, if they try to correct absolutely every behavior, he's not going to make any progress, and it's all it's going to do is damage his self-esteem.
Right. Okay.
Okay. And so we're going to target in, and you're going to begin the process of teaching the school to target. Okay?
Okay.
Tracy, did you want to add something or no?
No.
Okay. All right. So let's target. What do you want to take aim on this week? And Tracy, let's give Whitney a chance to take a breath and think about it. Tracy, let's start with you.
I think I want to take aim at when he boundary pushes,
mm-hmm.
you know, push, and we have a deal. You can sit 15 minutes late if you're done with your shower, brush teeth, blah, 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 by 8. Well, sure enough, he'll push, and he'll finish at 8:01. I'll say, well, you weren't done by 8, but it was just 1 minute. And it's like, with him, I have to be so, and it's so not like me. I've really had to learn that I've got to stick to the rules or else he walks all over me. So
the 1 minute really makes a difference?
What's that?
The 1 minute really makes a difference?
Oh, he'll walk all over me for 3 days if I let that go. I only learn from experience, you know what I mean?
Okay.
And I don't know. Maybe there are times when 1 minute doesn't, but what he's taught me is if I loosen up the boundaries with something teeny tiny, he walks all over me. And maybe that's what I need to take aim at. I don't know. He's so strong-willed, you know.
So tell me, so specifically what you're focusing on is how do you handle when he's pushing boundaries?
Yeah.
Okay. And
you know,
is
and
this
I kept saying, getting closer to 8, if you've got 5 minutes, you've got 4 minutes, you've got 3, and maybe I shouldn't do that. Maybe I should just wait till 8 o'clock and you didn't get it done. You know, I don't know.
And so what's the consequence of 8?
The consequence of 8.
Or the result, what's the impact of him not?
The next time he wouldn't get to stay up late and I wouldn't play, you know, we were playing basketball. I wouldn't play basketball and I wouldn't let him stay up late because he showed me that I can't trust that he's going to be done when he says he's done. And then he had a huge complete meltdown and screaming and yelling and crying. And I was like at the end of my, okay, night, door closed. And I just couldn't deal. And that's not right either.
Right. Okay.
I don't think.
So I'm, there are a lot of places we could go with that, right? A lot of different. but I'm still trying to get very clear on what it is you want to see changed.
I think you're not clear because I'm not being clear about what I want to see.
No, that's why we're going to stay with
it.
It's okay.
I guess it's when I see him start to have a meltdown and I think he's 9 years old, I can't believe he's still doing this, I've got to shift my head to compassion. So, you know, at 5 years old, it's fine. But at 9, almost 10, should he really still be doing, you know, I've got to be more compassionate and try to
okay, you're already solving your problem, which I love. So the challenge that you're struggling with is how you respond to when he misses a boundary?
Yeah.
I don't want to put words in your mouth.
I don't know. Do I let him get away, you know, in my mind, get away with the 1 minute only because I know then the next time it's going to be 2 minutes, next time it's going to be 3 minutes. And he's shown me that over and over. Like He shows me that he needs really, really tight, clear, black and white boundaries, which is hard for me because I'm not that way.
So the issue then it sounds like is how to hold firm to boundaries.
Yeah, I have a hard time, yeah.
Okay. So let's look at that and see where that takes us, holding firm to your boundaries. And what I'm hearing is to hold firm to boundaries with compassion will be a good thing to focus on today. Okay. So Whitney, what about you?
Yeah, I think my primary goal is to help the school be more understanding and compassionate and to help them manage him at school. Is that too broad?
No, not for where you are right now. So it's really about what's the message you want to bring to the school, right?
Right. Yeah, I just want to give them some tools and some understanding of what may work better for him.
Okay, great. Okay, so let's talk for a minute about compassion Clearly, it's a topic we all know something about, so you don't need a lot of me spousing about it. But I do want to talk a little bit about why I think we tend to use it so much and why I think it's so incredibly important for our kids. I mean, and it's already, you know, already come up, obviously, in this conversation multiple times because we get it. We know that that kids need compassion, that everybody needs compassion. What we forget in the frustration of raising these complex kids is that it's frustrating for them too, right? They want to be good kids. They want to please their parents. They want to please their teachers. They want to do what they think they should be able to do. They want to do what they see their friends are able to do. And they get annoyed, frustrated, irritated when they aren't able to perform and do what they think they should be able to do, or the expectations that are set for them. So, you know, that gets worse and compounded when an environment sets unreasonable expectations, right? That just makes it that much worse. But at the end of the day, if we can start with them from a place of understanding and compassion and acknowledgement of what their experience is, and I believe that with compassion you always start with acknowledgement, right? Recognizing their situation. And really take that kid's eye view, look through their lens, see what the circumstance is like for them. That enables us as adults to come to them with solutions or strategies or whatever it is, from a place of support instead of from a punitive place, right? You know, Tracy, you were saying, like, you don't really want to be coming from a place of withholding play or affection, right? You want to be able to play with your kid and be able to set the limit, because that's love and compassion and connection. And at the end of the day, we want to be in relationship with our kids. You know, we don't always want it to be about tasks and doing and outcomes and accomplishments, right? We want to love our kids, and we want them to love being with us. And, you know, if our kid has a broken arm and they can't write something, we would have compassion and we'd write it for them, right? Broken hand, whatever. And so because they have this invisible disability, we have to remind ourselves to bring that compassion even when we visibly don't see it. So just a little bit, what's coming up for people?
Yeah. I vacillate between compassion and boundary setting.
Mm-hmm.
So I was thinking about that scenario with the 1 minute thing. You know, a few minutes before, he was looking at me going, do, 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 ha, ha. Like, I've got a crack in my boundary setting, and he knows it. And he's like, do, 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 just messing around, laughing, staring at me, watching his watch. And I'm like, oh, my gosh. So I have a problem between, like, laughing with him about it and boundary setting.
Mm-hmm.
So he was
okay.
Doing it on purpose just to see what was going to happen. You know?
Exactly.
Which
so
is what kids
what
do
you,
when it's not
what
clear
happens,
and tight.
What would happen if you brought compassion to the boundary setting?
What does that look like?
I try.
Yeah, it looks like, to me it looks like kindness and firmness, which is my goal, kindness
okay.
and firmness. And that's what he thrives in.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that because I've done it before, but I just want to be more consistent with being kind and firm at the same time. Because he
mm-hmm.
needs firm, unfortunately.
So how do you hit firm?
Calm and clear, you know, calm.
Okay.
We had a deal. I was happy to play basketball with you. You got to stay up a little bit late, but you didn't follow what we discussed as a boundary or whatever I call it. I don't know.
Right.
You didn't stick to the deal we had, I think is what I said.
So you open for a little just language coaching around that for a minute?
Yeah.
Okay. Remember what happens when you start any sentence with the word you.
Yes.
Okay, what happens?
He's defensive.
Right, exactly. You put him on defensive.
Attacked.
Right. And so then you're no longer in a collaborative, compassionate place, you're blaming. You're pointing fingers.
Yep.
So I'm a big believer in let the system be the bad guy. So the scenario you created was we get to stay up late and play. And if he doesn't hit this marker, then you're not going to be able to do that again, right? Is that correct? Okay.
Yep.
So the
couple
of things.
That,
say it again.
Never again. Not never again. Just not next time.
Not next time. Right. So the activity tonight buys him the ability to do it again tomorrow night. Is that correct?
I don't remember how. You know, we don't do it every night. It's every once in a while. If it's a nice,
right,
beautiful
okay.
evening, you know.
So one place to look, maybe just in terms of the boundaries, is having a clear and immediate. You know, I always say, as I say, let the system be the bad guy. Man, I wish we could do that, but I guess we can't. Right?
Yeah, I love that framework. Yeah.
So that you're an ally with him, and the system is the one that's holding the boundary, not you.
Yep.
Okay, so that in order to do that, you have to have very clear, firm, clearly communicated, established boundaries, expectations, consequences, whatever you want to call it. So we get to stay up until 8 o'clock and play ball and do whatever, and I'm really excited about it as long as this happens by 8. But let's be really clear. The deal is that if it doesn't happen by 8, then this is what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, and it's hard if the bedtime tomorrow night is the consequence, right? It's better if there's, you know, something else right now that doesn't happen or that changes. If you can make it, the more immediate you can make it, the better.
Yep.
But if you do get to that, if it is, well, tomorrow night bedtime 7:30 instead of 8, right? Man, I wish we could stay up late. But, you know, we can't this time, but I hope we can do it next time. I believe that you can do this.
Yep.
And that's the compassionate approach. So that you get to be a good guy and the rule gets to be the bad guy.
Yes, I love that.
Agree to the rule. And then it's not about is it 8 o'clock or is it 8:01, right?
Yep. Which feels so ridiculous. Even as I say it, it sounds so ridiculous, but I know, I've learned. Is that typical for ADHD, like the minute, you know, like really clear boundaries?
I would say what's happening is he's pushing you and he's playing you.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? He's looking you straight in the face and saying, you told me not to touch this and I'm touching it.
Yes.
Right? So it's really not about the time. He's pushing it because right now you're the boundary enforcer.
Yeah.
So.
What's he pushing for? I think it's hard for me to see it because I'm in it. What's he pushing for? Is he seeing there's a crack in my wall and he knows he can, like, what is that?
What do you think he's pushing for?
Power? I don't know.
Yeah, control.
He's like a powerhouse kid, you know.
He's pushing for control.
Yeah, okay.
Right? But if you agree to it, if you co-create the expectation, then, you know, he was part of the decision-making.
Okay. I just need to keep practicing that framework, just keep practicing it.
Yep. Yeah, I think a lot of it really is just but pulling yourself out of that being the taskmaster. He's not doing it for you or to you or anything else. This is the agreement.
Yeah.
I really and here's the other piece, and this ties into some compassion as well. I believe it. I know you can do this. I know this is hard for you, and I know you can do this.
Yep.
So believing in him to be successful instead of going to that, see, you didn't do it, and now we can't have this.
Yeah.
Is a more punitive place. So do you have another example of another just complete different time recently with boundary issues?
Do I have another one? No, things are just getting better in my house. That was just the only one I could think of in the last couple of weeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So, so what do you feel like you focused on in this little exchange?
Just framing it differently. So, and I've heard you all say that before. You know, let the agreement be the bad guy, or let the system be the bad guy. And I love that framework, and so I've been practicing that, and it's really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
Even to where he gets a hug at night, and we still read, but sadly, he lost the iPhone tomorrow.
Right, exactly.
You know,
yeah, and you
so
never
want
to withhold affection. You never, ever want to withhold affection as part as a consequence.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
The love is always there. The
yeah.
book is always there, whatever, you know, whatever your routine is.
Yep.
But sadly, that doesn't get there. But next time, I know you can do it. I believe in you.
Yeah.
Right. So what's your clarity about from this? What'd you learn?
It's not about just to keep it about me and more about the system.
Great.
And that when he sees a crack, he's going for it.
Right.
So I just need to be prepared with compassion and be prepared with you know, the boundary and compassion around it.
Mm-hmm.
It's like they think they can catch you at a bad time. You know, they're such
they
powers.
Really
they're
can.
The best teacher ever. I mean, he's the biggest teacher I've ever had, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. So what's a realistic action step for you to take from this?
Just to pause the next time I can feel it. I can feel it coming on when he looks at me, la-la-la-la-la-la, watch me, you know. I can feel that it's starting to get aggravating to me, and that's
mm-hmm.
when I can take a deep breath and remember, you know, hey, we had a deal. I know you can do it, and then just let go.
Yep.
And see what happens.
Well, and I would say, I know you can do it, and sometimes, and I really hope you do because I'm really looking forward to it.
Oh, that's good.
Right. So it's not just for him. It's going to be fun for us.
Yeah.
Sometimes. I mean, you have to gauge whether that works or not, but they're young enough. He's young enough where that should be a motivator.
Yeah. No, I'd love to have fun, you know.
Yeah. And so what do you need to do to set yourself up for success with this?
Just be aware of the trigger that it pulls in, you know, to be aware of that trigger for me.
Okay. Do you have anything that sort of reminds you of it?
Yeah, when I say to myself, when I hear in my mind saying to myself something like, he's just pushing me to see how far he can push me when it's not really about me. When I catch myself making it about me, that could be a good flag for me, a flag.
Great.
And then I take it personally and then I forget about my skills I'm learning.
So what's the question that can help you when you notice that? What's the question you need to ask yourself when you start getting triggered?
What's this all about? What's this all about?
What's this all about?
Yeah, curiosity.
Okay.
Yeah.
So will you write that down?
Yeah, I'm writing right now.
And then write it like on a couple of post-it notes or something and put it in a few different places.
Okay.
Just as a reminder for a week. And if he says, what's that all about? You can be very mysterious. So anything else for you? On it, Tracy?
No.
Okay. Whitney, what about you? What are your, let's look at your, how do we help the school issue?
I don't know. I was thinking, you know, instead of them having eight different areas where they're constantly keeping track of what, you know, when he's been a disruption or an interruption or done something wrong, maybe
mm-hmm.
to have them just pick one area
mm-hmm.
and just say that, you know, that they tell him that they're going to pick one area to work on, you know, together and just kind of start there. But what I'm thinking there, you know, the issue is kind of the same thing with the boundaries. Like when he's, I think that if he's sitting down in class, and he's asking questions, then he'll have a tendency to get silly and say something, well, unicorns aren't real or whatever the topic may be, and that's when I think they feel like they're setting the boundaries and saying, okay, that's enough, and you need to go to the principal's office. Like, where's the line on being curious and being, you know, crossing that line?
Right. So it feels like they've set an expectation that's not realistic for this kid.
Probably, yes.
Right. So,
yeah.
And what I would encourage you to do, have you watched the ADHD Parent Manual video?
Nope. I need to do that.
I would suggest, it's like a 20, 25-minute video. It's not long.
Okay.
I would suggest, and you have my permission, to give a copy of it to the teacher.
Okay. Okay.
Okay? And encourage her to watch it.
Okay.
Because I think that part of it is getting really clear, and I couldn't confer with you more, agree with you more, that if they're trying to work on 8 things with him, they're not going to make any progress anywhere.
Okay. Okay.
It's all he can do to think and sit still at the same time. It's like Gerald Ford chewing gum and walking at the same time, you know?
Right. What would be a case where he can have some successes?
If I were asking you, where do you want to start as a parent? What would
mm-hmm.
you? Where would you want to look? Where he can be successful, and where your biggest stressor point is, right?
Right.
So
I would say, for me, it would be, you know, I mean, I just don't have any tolerance for saying things that are not mean spirited, but like inappropriate or disrespectful. I mean, that to me is an absolute, you know, I don't want him to do it in my house, and I surely don't want him doing it at school, which he's done.
Okay. So if that's the school's biggest issue, then that might be a place
mm-hmm.
to start. But I think I would ask them,
okay,
work on all of these things. We can choose one. What's the one thing you really want to see some progress on? Let's help this kid have some successes.
Yeah. Okay.
And sort of co-create it with them, manage it with them a little bit. So there's two pieces to it. One is helping them learn what they need to learn to understand to help your kid. The other is,
right,
in this case, where do you need to bring compassion, your compassion, to the school? Or let me ask it differently.
Okay.
What's the compassion you have for what the school is struggling with?
Where's the compassion that I have? The school is like, where do I have the same understanding of the issues that they're having?
What's your compassion for the school's perspective right now? For the teacher or the administrators?
Oh gosh, I mean, you know, it's most likely a lot of the same stuff that I deal with at home, but I'm definitely compassionate in the fact that it's that they're trying to run a classroom and that you've got one child that you have to keep stopping. And so I'm sure they're feeling the same frustration that I feel at home when, mm-hmm. you know, I can't get anything done because he's monopolizing my time, you know, or needing too much of my time.
Right. So you can completely understand their frustration.
Oh yes, definitely.
Yep. And they've got all these other kids and they're trying to get through a lesson.
Right.
So what's available if you approach them with some compassion for their experience?
Yeah, I would think that would make them feel, I mean, I think they would appreciate it, first of all, but I think that would make them feel that validated and that that I'm here to help. I mean, that I'm not just sending him to school all day and turning my back.
Right.
Which, you know, I would think happens, but I think they would appreciate that.
Okay. So there's always going to be compassion for the kids, but it sounds like there's
right.
a real need for some bringing the compassion to the school as you try to guide them.
Right.
Okay.
Okay.
What else are you aware of right now with this?
Well, I mean, should I ask them to maybe not send him to the principal's office as if he's crossed the boundary?
And do you think it's a reasonable boundary?
Depends on what it would be. I mean, if he keeps interrupting, probably. I mean, that's where I'm kind of confused, because if he keeps interrupting, he keeps interrupting, and it's so disruptive. Do they just put up with it, or I mean,
so how many teachers in the classroom?
Two.
Okay, so there is a second teacher.
Yes.
Okay. Are they doing anything to help him manage his fidgetiness or his activity?
That I don't know specifically, so I need to find that out.
Okay. So I think that's the question I would ask is what are we doing
mm-hmm.
to help him, you know, so have they, if they've set the expectation, and it's a fairly clear expectation, let's say that they want to focus on his blurting out, his impulsivity,
mm-hmm.
right, as an example. Then, you know, using the action model, what are the pieces that could help with that, right? There's activate the brain, parent positively, shifting expectations, and using systems and structures.
Mm-hmm.
So activating the brain, you're already doing medication.
Not doing medication.
Oh, you're not doing medication. Sorry, I'm mistaken. Sorry.
No, yeah.
But you're looking in, you're starting to do the testing and all of that. So you're starting
right.
that process.
Right.
You may want to look at what you're doing nutritionally to
okay.
see how that can help.
Okay.
You might want to get him a water bottle for the classroom with a sucky top.
Okay.
Because that sucking process, this is borrowing from the OT world, but that
okay.
sucking is calming. So a lot of times in special needs classrooms, when kids come in from recess, they all sit down and drink on a sucky bottle to sort of calm themselves back down.
Hmm. Okay.
So that, you might try that. Would
okay.
they allow him to chew gum?
I don't think so. And
okay.
I know he would have that everywhere.
All over the place, right? So he's probably too
mm-hmm.
young for that. So
yeah.
So you may want to look at what are some of the, you know, do a little research on what are some of the accommodations that schools tend to make to help with impulsivity. It may be that they have a deal where the second teacher in the room, if he starts blurting out, goes over and just puts a hand on his shoulder or pulls him to the side and says, Preston, can you come help me with this for a minute? Right. What are other strategies that they could use to redirect him without punishing him?
Okay.
And that's the question I always ask, is how can we enable him to be successful instead of kicking him out of the classroom every time? Because he's not being impulsive because he's bad. He's doing it because he really can't help himself.
Yeah. I'm curious. Tracy, what did you see, I mean, from the teachers that you've had, have they done anything like this that have worked well for your son?
Yeah, you know, the woman he has now is phenomenal. She also has an ADHD son who's now a teenager. But, you know, he's allowed to stand up. He gets lots of rewards for helping, so giving him tasks. You know, they have a little card system where at the end of the week you have X amount of cards and you get a prize. So giving him things to do instead of telling him what not to do all the time.
Yes,
yeah, huge.
Okay. I'm trying to think. That's the biggest thing. But standing up was pretty good. You know, they start to learn. Like he'll say, so-and-so kept learning out in class. And, you know, they kind of learn there are other kids like them.
Right,
yep.
I find interesting. But I think talking to other moms and seeing what, you know, what they're doing for their kids. But those are the two biggest things for Zach. If I think of any more, I'll email Elaine. She can.
Well, so here's what I would suggest. Post something on the forum asking parents what accommodations they got for their kids when they were in kindergarten and first grade.
Okay.
Right? How did they help their kids manage in kindergarten and first grade? So post something on the forum so that people can respond to that.
Yeah.
And then,
you know, like line reader, you know, they've got a list of things that
right.
He's always something on that list.
Focusing on redirection. So the focus
okay.
for the school is how do we redirect? And you may also sort of think about what kinds of fidgets might be good and quiet and not distracting. So the challenge with fidgets is sometimes the fidget becomes a distraction. So you have to be careful.
Mm-hmm. Right.
But it may, you know, does he like to draw and doodle? Would they let
yes.
him have a like a little notebook and a pen while he's in the circle so that he can write down if he's got something he wants to say.
Right. But then I've heard, well, and then we went through this a little bit last year, too, then they say, well, then the other kids want to be able
yeah, well,
to do
that's,
that.
He's got a disability that I don't even, that I wouldn't even gratify that with anything other than he's not the other kids. He's a kid with ADHD.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, that,
Eli, my son just started. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. I'm just getting pissed. Go ahead.
Yeah, I know. I'm getting that too for you, Whitney. My son just started doodling this year and just making little doodles, and he'll bring them home. I think it helps him listen and it helps him focus. I really do. And he's not really an artsy kid. He's more of a math science kid. But he started this doodling thing, and I really think it's helped him. So maybe offer up little doodles, and maybe there are numbers or squares or whatever, baseballs, whatever he's into. But maybe that will help him. It keeps him occupied, and he can listen better, like the gum chewing.
Yeah, I think that's
a good
idea.
Well, the gum chewing is actually, I think she's right that he's a little young for it. And it's more of an organizing activity than a soothing activity. So
yeah, this is all helpful.
So what do you feel like, what do you feel like your clarity is from this?
That I need to, I mean, you brought up a good point. I've been thinking about the compassion for Preston over this week, but I also need to show compassion for the teachers and make, you know, and just make sure that they're aware that I understand where they're coming from and that, you know, and the challenges that they have at school, but also provide them with some tools. And they've asked, I mean, I just didn't know exactly what, you know, what to give them. So once I go through the parent manual, I'll offer that to them. And I really do think that they would take the time to watch it. So, and then just really talk to them about focusing on one aspect, you know, one area, and maybe we can talk about what they really think would be realistic since they're with him every day for him to do versus, you know, that whole list of things that he can't do.
Right.
And then I will ask him, too, about, you know, what would be feasible for him to, you know, whether it would be doodling or, you know, have something in his hand that he can, a rubber band or something that he can sit. There is a lot of sitting and listening and, you know, sitting in a circle and reading out loud, you know, reading to in group settings. And I think there's more of that than I realize.
He needs something to occupy himself during that.
Okay.
Definitely. Poor kid.
And he came home last night, and he was so quiet, and we never heard him so quiet before. But I think it just had such a profound effect on him, you know, on his self-esteem yesterday. I just think it was just like, okay, you know what, I'm done. You know, he just didn't. For once, he didn't have anything to say.
Mm-hmm. So here's what I want to ask you: is that we've talked a lot about how you want to address the school. What do you want? How do you want to approach Preston? What do you want to do for him right now?
Just remind him, you know, and I try to do this on a daily basis, just tell him, you know, how much I love him and what a good kid he is, because he is. And, just, you know, be just make sure and hug and touch and just show my support for him. And, you know,
apply compassion to that. What's the message from compassion that you want to share with him?
Compassion, I guess, just understanding that it's you know, it's, I think just said verbalize that it must be frustrating when, you know, you get in timeout for this at school or get sent to the principal's office, and just maybe reiterate what he's going through.
Yeah. If I know this is really hard for you, buddy. And I know you're trying really, really hard, and we believe, you know, like really validate that it's hard and you know he's working hard, and you love that he's curious and you always want him to be curious as a learner, and you're very excited, and, you know, that you're all working on trying to help make it be better and better, and you're going to learn ways, and he's going to learn ways to manage it, but you never want him to stop being curious. And you know, you always want him to know that he can talk to you because you know that you understand how hard it is because you struggle with it too.
Right. I like that.
Really, really reinforce that you're not in this alone, and we believe in you, and we can't, I mean, just, it's hard. And I think that adding that to the message of, and I love you no matter what, is brilliant, because the
okay.
I love you no matter what is critical.
Yes.
And there's that sort of acknowledgement, compassion piece that will just reinforce it.
Yeah. I mean, even though we're starting this early, you know, I feel like I'm at a good place to really get the knowledge and the education about ADHD. But, I mean, I also am starting to see it affect him too, you know, and I don't want to go too much further without him having a real clear understanding that he's, you know, that we do support him and we love him and, you know, and bring that compassionate side to it.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, you know, like if he broke his arm, you'd be like, man, I know you wish you hadn't broken your arm. I wish you could go swimming and you can't, right? Or whatever it is. And it's just like that. I get that this is hard. And just that acknowledgement makes such a difference for people. Being seen.
Yes, I agree.
Really. So what do you need to do to set yourself up for success?
Just to make a time to go in there this week. I mean, to make a, you know, and set a reminder in my phone to, you know, schedule an appointment with them and get in there sooner than later before it goes much further. Because I don't want to I don't want this to continue. So I want to get in there, hopefully, maybe, and have a conversation with them, you know, by email or, you know, talk in person tomorrow before we keep.
So will you make sure you get an email out tonight? And that you try to get in there tomorrow?
Definitely.
Even if it's just a preliminary conversation?
Yes, definitely.
Great. So, and will you also write down, post something about, you know, recommendations from people for kindergarten and first graders?
Okay, I will do that.
Cool. Okay. Anything else on this that would help you?
Not for me. This is great. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure. I'm really glad we had the space for it, and I just want to acknowledge both of you for, for just pushing through and being conscious and being engaged and looking at yourself and your kids and the connection and making a difference. It's an awesome thing to witness. So, Tracy, anything else from you before we say goodbye today?
No. Thanks.
Okay. I'm going to turn the recording off. Bye, everyone.